Or Damian, Katie, and Jason. How about that? The drive is off. Katie Christensen is here. She works hard. She's in Portland.
Yeah, I'm not off. Hey.
Yeah. Damian Barling and Jason Ross of the Lowdown here. Happy to fill in on the drive, not just today, but the rest of the week. We got the Kings and the Blazers tonight. Going to talk a lot about that this hour and part of the next. Jerry Reynolds is going to be with us at 7:40 in the same Portland area that Katie Christensen is at as we speak. Greg Papa, voice of the Raiders, he'll be with us at 8 o'clock. And Four Down Territory coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Just came across something. Part of Four Down Territory is going to be Rex Ryan. We know, as we reported at the very end of our show yesterday, Rex Ryan, Rex and Rob are out. Apparently, Tyrod Taylor is being benched as well.
Wow. Okay.
Now, for those who are unfamiliar with Tyrod Taylor has a very Colin Kaepernick-like deal. And that if he gets hurt in week 17, his year next year becomes guaranteed. If he doesn't, he can get cut without a dollar on the books.
So they're leaving that option open.
Oh, very clearly. Yeah. It more than leaving it open, it seems that they're cutting Tyrod Taylor at the beginning of the new year, right before it starts.
That's crazy. I'm curious. I got to look up his stats right now because he's been good for that team, hasn't he?
He's
not a team I've watched a ton, you know, closely, but he's been a big part of their success when they've had it.
Yeah, he's not their biggest issue, that's for sure.
You know who has not been a part of their success?
Who?
One of your old favorites. Reggie Bush.
No. Yeah.
Reggie Bush is heading for an NFL record right now. 12 carries, negative 4 yards.
That actually is really hard to do.
That I'd argue that's tougher than what Ezekiel Elliott's doing. Like, how do you do that? 12 carries, negative 4 yards on the season.
First pick in fantasy for me this year. It didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
That was bad
you
pick.
You still won the league, so quit complaining.
Okay, just to clarify, Reggie Bush was not Jason Ross's first pick in fantasy football, just to make that clear. Okay.
Can we I haven't studied your lineup, so I thought you were being 100, but can we just for 1 second talk about the Kardashian effect? Does this have anything to do with it? Is there like a delayed, like, is it kind of like cyanide where you consume it and then a little bit later, like, you're going to die from it?
Die. The Kardashian cyanide.
I think we can market that.
It's legit.
Yeah, it is legit. No doubt about
I'm
that.
I'm just worried about Tristan Thompson and the Cavaliers. I'm like, their season's going to be over before it even starts.
Now, that's a real battle of the Titans right there. LeBron versus the Kardashians. Whose effect is greater?
True.
The LeBron effect or the Kardashian? LeBron, Tristan Thompson made $80 million because of LeBron effect.
Yeah,
the Kardashians might make him more. Might.
No.
And
sure. ETV. Yes.
Yeah.
May kill him.
No, he's going to get like, there's probably already a contract. He's getting like 2% and then they're going to be divorced in like, you know, 30 days.
Which one is he with?
Chloe, who has moved on from the bearded wonder in Houston to a gigantic beast of a man in Cleveland.
So is that so there it is. So let's just bring the first hour of the show full circle before we move on.
Oh my God, she was with him in when he had the bad year in Houston.
There it is. Kardashian with James Harden, he gets left off of all three all NBA teams.
Yeah.
They break up. Now who's your
she's the real MVP.
She
helps everyone else out.
She's the Rockets MVP indeed.
And Reggie Bush is dying a slow death in the NFL, and it's like a delayed Kardashian reaction. Yeah,
they're the center of the universe,
basically.
Yeah,
it is. All things athletics go through Kardashians.
Yeah,
literally and figuratively.
You're a horrible person, Damian Barling. And I'm horrible for laughing.
Let's try to get this show back on track here. Four Down Territory coming up in just a couple of minutes. You heard our Matt George there at the top of the hour talk about Derek Carr had a successful surgery, which is never news because I'm still waiting for the doctor to come out and say, you know, we're going to have to go in and do this again. It didn't go right.
Yeah.
Give us about a week, let the stitches heal up, and we're going back in.
It happens, though.
It does.
There can be complications once they open you up and they figure out that it's worse than they thought or so on and so forth.
No, they it can go bad. They just are never going to come out and tell you that it went bad. Like, just randomly they went back to surgery 2 weeks later.
Right.
And totally unrelated to the first surgery.
Right.
But Derek Carr seems to be good. His mindset is straight. He was mic'd for Inside the NFL in that game against the Colts, and here's the clip. If you're a Raider fan,
it's just uncomfortable.
It's not fun. But this is the play here. Just brutal.
Part's him and McGloin, right?
That's McGloin. McGloin saying, "We'll finish this off. I got you." And that's Derek Carr saying, "I know you do. I know you do."
Yeah, that's the worst because athletes know, right, Kate? I mean, they know when something's wrong, and it was obvious for him.
His reaction. Sorry, Katie. Go ahead.
No, you know the moment it happens that something is just drastically wrong. But Damian, watching kind of it unfold just from, you can't hear anything, but watching that happen, the moment he got hit, you could see the expression on his face. And then when he went to the ground, it's like, okay, there's something really, really wrong right now.
And his reaction to being hurt was so late because he knew, and you could, as you just said there, Katie, athletes know. We saw it with Chris Paul in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. He reacted right away. He knew he wasn't out for a game. He knew he had hurt himself pretty badly. Mm-hmm. He was there in just, it's broke. He's telling his guys. And then, what was it, like 8-10 seconds later, he reacts like, oh, this hurts.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and it's, oh, man. And I just felt so bad for Raider. I have never felt bad for a fan base that I don't.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously this job that we do here is a lot more fun when the Raiders are good. And they've been a joy to watch as a sports fan. But I have never felt so bad for a fan base as I did that Raider
one. Yeah. Think about the two times that he got hurt here recently. The finger was 100% reaction of pain. I mean, normally when something like that happens, you're going to dive on the loose football, okay, and then you realize, oh, my gosh, I dislocated my finger. Well, that was 100% pain. He ran away from me. He's like, I'm hurt. That was the human being aspect of it. But then it was, well, I can still play. Let me get a glove on. Let me take care of this. When he hurts his ankle, he knew it was everything from pain, frustration to everything we did
is over
for me as a part of this team. And that's the sad part for me.
I really hope the Raiders can go out and do something this weekend.
I hope so.
I don't know what they could possibly do that will make the team. And no matter, they're saying all the right things publicly, Katie, and that's absolutely what they need to do. Jack Del Rio, next man up, all good. But if they can go out there and Matt McGloin can have a performance, or you can get a performance from those trio of running backs, you might feel a lot better, especially if you can win and secure that first week bye. You might feel pretty comfortable. You might feel a little more comfortable heading into those, really intense playoff games that you're going to have in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, it's crazy because I don't know on your guys' show kind of how you guys looked at the season, but when last week before this injury happened, we looked back at August, September, and what we thought our expectations for this Raiders team were. And we thought that we were being very generous by saying, hey, they have a shot at a wild card, right? They have come in this season and shocked everyone, and Derek Carr has had so much to do with it, but it's been a true team effort. And so you look at what they've been able to do this season, and that the kind of hopes just kind of built with each week what they were going to be able to do in the postseason. And it is saddening because it was fun to watch this team, and it's still going to be fun. Like, it's not over. We're not going to play the in memorandum, music type thing. It's not over, but it was already going to be difficult for them to be able to go into Foxborough and any team and be able to upset the Patriots. So anything can happen at this point, but we all know the reality of it is it's an uphill battle right now for them.
Jerry Reynolds coming up at 7:40, four down territory, coming up next on The Drive.
The voice of Jerry Jones talking about Mr. Tony Romo. Reports say Mark Sanchez will be Dak Prescott's backup in their Week 17 match against the Eagles and not Tony Romo. Is that the right call?
Absolutely. Break glass in case of emergency. That's what Tony Romo is. You don't break that glass unless you absolutely need to. And there's no reason to march him out there in Week 17. We saw in Week 16 Ezekiel Elliott get 12 carries. I don't imagine he'll get much more than that, if that, in this Week 17 matchup. And as we've said a number of times, Ezekiel Elliott is one of the best defenders that the Dallas Cowboys have. He's one of the best pass protectors the Dallas Cowboys have just because of the way he can run the ball. There's no sense in putting Tony Romo out there in a non-meaningful situation. If he's going to play, it's going to be because Dak gets hurt in a playoff game or because they have to do something drastic. Right. And I think it's actually only Dak gets hurt. I don't think they're going to have the make that switch in the middle of a playoff game if Dak is struggling.
Well, and it's not just about, you know, what could potentially happen to Tony Romo, but also you guys got to consider the fact that they're likely going to be resting some key offensive linemen as well. So it's not like you're putting them behind your, you know, the best offensive line in the league. You're putting them behind some second string, you know, some backup guys anyway. So this is the right call. I agree with you, Damian. Tony Romo is a tremendous quarterback. The fact that he's a backup right now in Dallas, for them to have him in case something happens, you want to make sure you keep him safe right now.
That's it. I mean, he's still an asset. Mark Sanchez, I'm sorry you're not. I mean, you're a guy on the team, and you could be the backup quarterback. You could play a lot of the game. But Tony Romo can either help this Cowboy team sometime this year, next year, or help him in a way in a trade later that gets more. Mm-hmm. He is important. Mark Sanchez, sorry you're not as important.
That's Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin responding to the criticism from former Steeler Terry Bradshaw. Do you agree with Bradshaw, or is Tomlin a great coach?
You know, I think that Terry Bradshaw has been hit in the head a few too many times, and now he's having some residual effects from it, because that is one of the worst things that you can say about someone. I mean, unfortunately, that's a really big dig, is to say someone is just a cheerleader. But Mike Tomlin's been with the Steelers for 10 years. He's been to the Super Bowl twice and he's won once. How is that a bad resume that means that you should be having pom-poms on the sideline? That's ridiculous. You have to give him credit.
Yeah, I feel like he's alone on this one. There's not enough. I don't hear other football experts, people that know the sport so well, saying, yeah, I agree. Tomlin, there isn't much there. I think he's not afraid to take risks. He's a little bit creative in the offensive department. They're willing to go for two a lot. I think of him as a really good coach, so I think Bradshaw's out of line here.
He's a great coach.
Yeah.
He's got Super Bowls to prove he's a great coach, and he's one of the most prestigious organizations in all of football, and they don't make snap decisions about firing coaches and bringing in new ones. They let guys get in there, get their feet wet, and do their thing. And since he's walked through the door, the Steelers have been great. We talked about teams to fear heading into the postseason this year. I'd be scared of the Steelers. Ooh. And Mike Tomlin is a big reason why I'd be scared of the Steelers. He is a great coach.
John Fox says of his Chicago Bears, "We're closer than people think." He's 9-22. Will he coach them next year?
No. I don't think so. Yeah, yesterday when we were talking about coaches, I said there's always a surprise. I had mentioned him before on the lowdown. I didn't mention him yesterday. I think that's one to watch. They're not closer than they think. They don't have the quarterback. They had some injuries this year, but that division is there. Everybody seems to be better than them. And if he's a defensive guy, he hasn't changed them into this defensive juggernaut. Likeable guy. He's had a good coaching resume. I just could see them starting fresh. So if my short answer is going to be no, I don't think he will be coaching them.
That's you, Damian.
I'm torn on this one. Are they closer than people think? No. I think John Fox is a little off on there, but I don't think he's going
to
step out and go.
He has to say that, right?
Right. I don't think he's going to step out and go, yeah, we stink. What do you want from me? But he's 9-22 in the same time frame that Rex Ryan is like 15-16, and Rex was fired.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, Jason, you hit the nail on the head. The division is kind of passing them by.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's one important number that we're not mentioning. We're throwing out wins and losses. Let's throw out this number, 21,663. That was the number of open seats on Christmas Eve at that game. Does that tell you everything you need to know? When you own a professional football team, you need to get butts in those seats. And you just don't see open seats at a stadium like that. And so if the owners don't look at this and say, okay, we need to make a change, even if it's just to get fans back and hope that they're, you know, so that they hope that there's going to be a change, then you got to do it.
Anyone in Santa Clara listening to this?
Yes. You got the Cubs winning. You got the Bulls doing fine.
Well, we know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
And then you got the Bears, the poop and the ice cream.
The poop and the ice cream.
I mean, I can't blame them. I wouldn't sit out there in the cold for that team.
Oh, toughen up, Matt.
No. Rex Ryan was fired after less
than
2 seasons.
Good response there, Matt George.
I'm reading.
It's debatable.
Rex Ryan fired 2 seasons. Too short, too long, just right.
I feel like it's too short. Like he had the opportunity. I don't know. I feel like his your mouth writes checks that your butt can't cash, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is constantly Rex Ryan. If he just came in there and started coaching, they'd probably be okay. But he goes out there and he makes all these claims and he has all this bravado, and that's part of what makes Rex Ryan Rex Ryan. I think a big mistake was bringing Rob Ryan along, because I don't think highly of him as a coordinator at all. I feel like it's too short. I mean, he hasn't even coached 2 full seasons in Buffalo,
right,
and you're firing him.
There's something crazy about loyalties, especially when it comes to your family, right? But honestly, I see where you're coming from. But am I not mistaken? And I think I read this. Is it 17 years since they've made the postseason?
Ooh,
is that
Buffalo.
How long it is?
Yeah.
So is that something where you're like, okay, you get a short leash here because we're trying to turn things around and we haven't been able to do it for 17 years. So you get 2 years and that's it.
Yeah. I feel like it's, you know, when we just asked the question, if, when John Fox saying they were closer than people think, I feel the Bills are closer than people think. So now if you reset the coach, not that the new coach can't pick up where they left off, but I feel like the Bills were actually starting to get somewhere, and one more year might have been the one for me. I think I would have tried one more, unless there was more internal stuff going on that, of course, we wouldn't know about. But just I would have done one more year if I was Buffalo. That's me.
And they're sitting Tyrod Taylor, by the way.
Yeah.
They're sitting Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
As a business decision heading into Week 16. That's 4 Down territory, brought to you by Jersey Mike's, with locations in Rockland and Elk Grove. How good are their subs, Katie?
You know what? They're fantastic. And if you're a hot kind of sub guy or a cold kind of sub guy, maybe you're a wrap guy. You can get all of it there.
I'm a wrap guy.
You are
a wrap guy.
Or a gal.
Jason Ross
or
is the epitome of a wrap guy.
Yes.
There's no question about that. Jerry Reynolds joins us at 7:40. We'll come back with more of The Drive next. It's 7:35. Time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. Jacuzzi of Sacramento. .com's The Drive. Katie Christensen's in Portland. Jason's here. I'm here. We appreciate you so much for being with us. Dave and Nate are off. Jerry Reynolds is going to join us in just about 5 minutes. 7:40, Jerry Reynolds will be here. 8 o'clock, Greg Papa will be with us. Looking at a couple of things, Katie, as you get ready for the game tonight against the Trailblazers, obviously the last time these two teams played, very high scoring, final score 126-121. It's a game where DeMarcus had 55. A couple of things that stand out to me in that game: DeMarcus's 55 obviously is eye-popping. Mm-hmm. So is 6 of 20. That's what Damian Lillard shot that day.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this team, is that they so badly need Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum to have big nights for them to be able to pull out wins. And it's crazy when you look at this team, because those two are playing really well. And D-Lil didn't have the greatest game against the Kings, which you have to credit that defense. They did a really good job of just kind of making life a little bit difficult on him. But this team started out the season, you guys, 12-10 through the first 22 games, right? And you're thinking, okay, they're going to have a chance of kind of following up the season they had last year. But since that point, they've gone 1-10. Is that bad?
Yeah.
Is that bad? Especially that they're on a 6-game losing streak right now, and the Kings can make it 7 tonight. And the craziest thing about this team, and they're not that much different from who they were last year, the major difference is they're just a sieve on the defensive end of the court. I mean, they are the worst rated defensive team in the league, and I don't see that changing. They can't stop anyone. That's why DeMarcus can go off and have 55 points against them. They don't have anyone on the inside to really be able to stop guys, and their guards aren't helping matters at all either.
Yeah, that was to say, they had the same record this point last year that they do now, but they got hot, finished the top 5 seed, won a round because of the Blazer breaks that they got there beating the Clippers who got injured. But speaking of injuries, though, Lillard, if I don't think he's playing, so that's going to be a big deal.
Is he injured tonight? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's been out, or he missed the last game. He says it's the worst ankle sprain he's ever had. He did not practice yesterday. I'm assuming, by all accounts, that he's not playing tonight, and that's a huge deal.
More shots for CJ.
Yes.
That's what that is.
Yes.
CJ McCollum was 13 of 22. Mason Plumlee took a lot of shots in the last game against the Kings as well. Katie, you mentioned the Blazers on defense and how just awful they are and how DeMarcus is able to get his 55 because of how bad that defense is. But really, I'd argue just as, if not more important than DeMarcus's 55 is a theme that we talked a little bit about yesterday. And you go back to this game against the Trailblazers not that long ago. Aaron Aflalo had 11. Ty Lawson had 16. Mm-hmm. Anthony Tolliver had 11. Darren Collison had 10. You got scoring from guys. Ben McLemore had 8. You got points from guys that you don't always get points from. And I think that not only has been a catalyst to their five-game winning streak, but really is what helped them start it with that win against Portland.
The great thing about this team and the strength about this team is that I really do feel the front office has done a good job of putting together a strong bench, right? It's there's some veteran players and they kind of were knocked. It's like, okay, you've got 3 first round draft picks that are spending time in the D League and you're playing, you know, guys that most people won't consider part of the future. But right now, and it's crazy to be saying this, you guys, because it's so early in the season, but you're in a playoff spot right now. And with the way the West has been last year and how it's shaping up this year, you just never know. And the great thing about these guys that have come in, you mentioned Aaron Aflalo, Ty Lawson, Anthony Tolliver, Garrett Temple has been one of the best players on this team in my mind. Their consistency and just being able to step up and play a role in whichever way they're needed any given night has been the one thing that has just been a positive for this team the whole entire, you know, season up to this point.
Yeah, I think the bench has been that surprising success. You expect good play from Rudy. You expect great play from DeMarcus. They're getting that pretty much consistently. It's the other guys when they play well. I think that's the best version of this team. And ultimately, what does that look like? Well, there's that spot, like Katie said, it's there. The Kings have it right now. They're on the hot spot of this. The Blazers are on the cold streak. They're a team that made the playoffs a year ago that right now is on the outside with an injury to their best player. Maybe they'll keep sliding. Hopefully they keep sliding at least tonight.
Well, let's bring in Jerry Reynolds. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're talking about obviously the game tonight, the Kings and the Blazers, and really discussing kind of the fall the Blazers have had, at least from the end of their playoff run to where we are today. What have you seen in them that just is so glaring to you as to why they're on, as Katie pointed out, 1-10 in their last 11 games?
Well, to me, they're just have been a very poor defensive team all year. Not that they were league's best, but they seem to be a lot better defensively. And for some reason, they've kind of lost that. I've always thought a little bit of it was the injury, not having Al-Farouq Aminu available most of the season. I think he's back now, but he I don't know if he's 100%. I thought he was a real solid defender in the front line, you know, give him somebody that really gives legitimate NBA toughness. And I think they missed that. And I think the addition of Evan Turner, even though he's a very good player, you know, it hasn't really worked yet. I kind of think that it will.
You know, Jerry, the Kings 4-game win streak that they're currently on right now started with that win over Portland at home at Golden 1 Center. And since then they've been rolling. Now, what do you see that the Kings have kind of been able to do? I know that you actually kind of did the studio show and you got to watch the game in a little bit different way than when you're, you know, calling the game courtside. What has been the difference in this 4 games to you that is really, you know, kind of just sticks out as the main cause?
Well, yeah, I think there's a couple things, Katie, and I mean, and like you say, I think watching 3 of the games kind of by the studio or doing the pre and post game stuff, you know, you see the game a little different. And the thing that struck me, well, obviously, was the same thing struck probably everybody that's got 2 eyeballs, was that DeMarcus Cousins is playing the best basketball of his career for sure. And not obviously statistically he is, but I think he's really just been so much better making his teammates effective. And I think that's kind of been obvious to me. And then a couple other things, I really have liked how Coach Edgar has, by the second half has really kind of got an idea who he wants to play down the stretch. I've never been a fan of the starting lineup. I'm not going to lie. I just don't think it's a very good starting lineup. And almost invariably it doesn't work very well. But I think Coach Edgar's a lot smarter than me. He realizes it's not who starts the game, it's who finishes. And he's been extremely good at getting the right lineups out there with Cousins to finish games and basically to win games. And I've kind of called it Cousin the Basketeers or Boogie and the Basketeers and Benchateers, because really it has been the bench along with mm-hmm. DeMarcus. Tolliver and Garrett Temple and Ty Lawson, I mean, they've been terrific. And they've been the guys along with Boogie that's been winning games.
You know, Jerry, I think that last point you made is a great one, and I think it's the coach's biggest challenge because, obviously, DeMarcus, as you said, playing the best basketball of his career. Rudy is a higher-level talent. But then I think players 3 through 12 are so similar, and it's not about making guys happy. It's about playing the right guys, and I don't know, that separation isn't very big. How difficult is that for Coach Yeager to – all right, tonight it's going to be Tolliver. Now it's Barnes. Now it's Costa. Now it's Willie. I don't think that's easy on a nightly basis when there's not a large gap in talent.
Oh, I don't think it is either. I'm pretty amazed at how accurate he's been because I think that's kind of what he uses the first half for, is to kind of get some idea of which reserves look like they have a game going or where the matchup advantages might be, and so. It is difficult, and I totally agree with the roster because you really have a lot of same level talents, and I've always thought, and even suggested to some of the assistants we talk about it a little bit, is that at some point you just have to pick guys and make somebody mad and that's that. You can't play everybody, but I think Coach Yeager's a lot smarter. He's figured out that some nights. Some guys might be valuable, and another night they may not play at all. And I think guys will just have to get used to it. I mean, as I've said many times, professional basketball, it's not little league. Everybody doesn't get to play 3 innings. And, you are paid a lot of money, and your contract says that you are a professional player and you will be available to play when called upon. That's really all there is to it.
Jerry Reynolds with us here on The Drive on Sports 1140 KHDK. Jerry, as a coach, how do you as a coach maximize those guys that you're talking about? Like, for example, the Ben McLemores or the Aaron Aflalo who went from a starting lineup to having a couple DNP CDs on the box score. How do you keep those guys motivated knowing, hey, you might not play today, but you're going to play the next game or I'm going to need you at some point. How do you keep those guys focused during practice, shoot around and engaged during games?
Well, I think you hit on it really. It's just that to give them a straight scoop. This is the deal, guys. Hate to break news to you. You're not Michael Jordan. you, in case you haven't figured that out of your agent, it's pretty obvious that you're all going to be on a short leash, and it's your job to be ready. And I will call on you. And obviously, if you're not ready and you can't perform at all, then at some point, obviously the league sees it as well as the fans. I've always told players just keep in mind you're individual contractors. I mean, you're playing for the Kings, but you're also playing for the league in your career. So if that won't motivate you. You probably aren't gonna be around a long time.
Jerry, I want to talk to you about kind of the Rudy Gay conundrum, right? Obviously, the Kings played extremely well without him while he was out with that hip flexor, and he was back in the lineup in the last game. But what is it about kind of his style of play that makes it so difficult to put guys around him and have an offense that flows a little bit better?
Well, that's a great point. I think with Rudy, is a good, really good one-on-one player and likes to play like that. And so, you know, he becomes a little bit of an ISO kind of guy, and the ball, you know, ball stops a little more with Rudy because he can do more with it and has more ways to score than the majority of players. He doesn't need help getting shots like a lot of guys that the Kings have, you know, do need help getting shots. And so I think, you know, with Cousins, he's certainly the same. You know, he's just better at it. So I think at times when you have two guys out there, you know, that in effect can go get shots, create shots for themselves, it really puts the other three guys standing around. And I think that sometimes it just doesn't work very well. You know, it's no real fault of either player. That's
right.
Who they are. You know, as we talked about, you know, player time, they've been 3 or 4 years in the league. You know pretty much their talent level and the style of play. And, I mean, Rudy is very good partially because of the way he plays. And sometimes that strength becomes a weakness.
Well, Jerry, I want to follow up on that and just, you know, you mentioned it. DeMarcus is one of those guys that is very much a ball stopper in his own way. But I think because he is a post player, he doesn't get the same kind of rap as Rudy does as a guard, as a wing player. But I you mentioned that DeMarcus has been playing some of his best basketball of his career. Part of that has been his willingness to move the ball early in the offense, because there's seems to be a little bit more trust with this group.
I agree. I mean, I think he's. I think the bunch that kind of has been finishing games and basically one of the reasons DeMarcus is playing so well. I mean, everything is flowing to and through him, and the key word maybe is through. He certainly is moving the ball better. His assist to turnover ratio is much better than it's been in the past, and that's a key. And I think he's been a little more selective in the shots that he takes, and of course that shows up in the percentages. You know, I probably think, though, that DeMarcus is so much better, you know, facing the basket than he is with his back to the basket. He's mm-hmm. good. He's good in all ways, but, you know, there's not a big guy in the league that can stay in front of him. But there's a lot of big guys. There's quite a few that can block his shots. And I think that's, in a nutshell, the difference. But the bottom line is, night to night, you have different big guys that will try to play him differently. I mean, we'll see it tonight with Portland. The last game, they had no clue. I was reading this morning in Hoops Hype that Leonard Myers is really enjoys looking forward to the matchup. Hmm. I was thinking, really? Really? Now, are you really looking forward to the matchup? Well, you'll get it, so we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Jerry, because the last time they did play, that was a bizarre night in which the ejection that didn't happen, DeMarcus comes out in the dramatic way, comes back from the locker room, and Myers Leonard, you're right, afterwards said a bunch of stuff about what DeMarcus said. So do you anticipate anything, any fallout from the last matchup as Portland may try to agitate DeMarcus tonight?
I do. I really do. I mean, I reading all the words, you know, they're kind of – guys are saying the opposite, but I don't believe that for a second. That, you know, the guy scored 55 on him. It's got to be and led to a loss. He made a key defensive plays as well as offensive plays. I mean, he had a great, great game. Myers Leonard was totally dominated, so he can say he enjoys the matchup, but I don't believe that. And if he does enjoy it, he's a sadist, I think. The other thing, though, I mean, I think the crowd certainly will be into it. I have no doubt that Marcus is going to get a lot of boos. And you know, the other players, I think DeMarcus was totally in the wrong by going over to their bench. He should have been called for a technical, for the taunting, personally. There's really no place for that. But
well, to be fair, he was. They just changed their mind.
Yeah. Well, they called it about the mouth. Excuse me, the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
But I mean, basically, Richard Jefferson gets called for a taunting one for a wink. And anyway, it wasn't called, but it should have been.
Well, winking is just inappropriate, Jerry. I mean, come on. That's,
I mean, well, that does, you know, it depends on who you're winking.
It's egregious.
There you go. Yeah. Jerry, before we let you go, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago you did the pre and post game the last few days. Did you enjoy that?
It's so different. I did, but it's so different. You know, you're just not in the game like doing the game, you have more time to you know, like certainly to talk about it, kind of like we're doing here. You know, you get a little more time to discuss and break it down. But so it's like everything. It's kind of an acquired taste. I mean, it certainly was fun doing it with Coase and James Hamm. So, you know, and then being in studio over there in San Francisco was interesting. So it's a kind of, you know, they always say you can't teach old dog new tricks, but this old dog knows sometimes you better learn some new tricks.
Jerry, we appreciate you. Have a great game tonight.
Well, I can't promise a great one. You know, that depends on Grant. I'll have to get him.
Good luck with that.
Yeah,
I'll try to give you 110%.
There you go. That's all we can ask. Grant may be a little cranky. He's got extra duties today here at the radio station. So
I know. Yeah, man, he has an amazing schedule. I admire the heck out of him. I don't know how he does it. I know I could.
You got prop him up, Jerry. You just got to prop him up.
I'll do my best, you guys. Have a great show.
All right, thank you. We appreciate you. The great Jerry Reynolds here on the drive. No, Dave and Nate, obviously. Damon, Jason, Katie in Portland. One, Jerry is a national treasure.
Absolutely.
He is.
If you don't have League Pass and you aren't aware of other local color analysts, you just don't know how good you have it with Jerry. Mm-hmm. Even some of the big teams that win championships.
Yeah.
Yikes. Jerry is so great, and he breaks down – being a former coach, he breaks down the game in such a simplistic way.
He's just fun to be around, too, and Katie, you're around him all the time. He's just a happy guy, likes talking basketball, likes to be at the games. He's fun.
Some of my favorite moments on the road is off air and being like on the bus or on the plane and being able to talk to Reynolds. And he is, as you put it, Damian, a national treasure. And he's one of those guys where I wish that people could be a fly on the wall when it's just the off air stuff that you're talking about, because he does such a great job, as you said, of breaking down the game, and he's always honest. And that's something I really appreciate about Grant and Jerry on our broadcast, is they're not severe homers in the sense that if there's a bad call or if the Kings got away with one, they'll say it. They don't just you know, kind of root relentlessly for the home team, but the off air conversations and really like breaking down the game and just kind of every aspect of it from front office to ownership, you know, and because he's been in the league for so many years, his knowledge is just encyclopedic.
We'll come back. Greg Papa kicks off our third and final hour of the drive. It is 7:55. Time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. JacuzziofSacramento.com. Greg Papa next on the drive.